Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Scott Tuzanot. And I've talked to Scott before. I guess I was a guest on your show or whatever, however
Correct.
You want to call it before. And so today we're going to talk about Scott's one of the only other people in the industry, and we've talked about this before, who sort of gets the idea that people generally are training for a look and a shape and not really, you know, strength and performance parameters and health, whatever you want to call health. All of that is as important as health seems to sound. I think it's still secondary to what people really want, and that's like a look and a shape. And like obviously, if you're listening to us, you probably get the fact that we've embraced that concept, but so has Scott, and Scott's trying to teach that too. So we're kind of like kindred spirits or like minds here. And it's actually hard to find people like this, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely hard. It's extremely hard. I find everyone wanting to push the latest mainstream fads on me and focus on the whole calorie burn. And they're trying to pitch me on all the newest. It's like all the old stuff never worked or somehow for some reason, even though it's produced all those results. But yeah, training for looks seems to be something that a lot of people for some reason want to brush off or not really talk about. They're more focused on what's going to burn the most calories in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah. Do you run into problems when you sort of, like, do people push back on you when you kind of bring up the idea or suggest that maybe training for the looks all you need to do or is the best goal?
It doesn't take too long to convince them. I just have, like you said, you ask them, bottom line, they're walking in the gym or they started to train because they looked in the mirror and they didn't like what they saw or they didn't like the way their clothes felt. And yeah, you know, definitely health is right up there with it. I'm focused on, I mean, I want to live the best quality, healthy life for the longest time period, but looks is what brings me into the gym. Vanity is a huge driving force for me. And when I start talking about vanity and getting them to not feel so guilty about it, I think a lot of people, when you start mentioning like training for looks, the whole idea of being vain has this negative connotation to it. Like I shouldn't be thinking of myself here. And like, well, really this is about you. You're training for yourself, but when you do train for yourself, it ends up having such an impact on everyone else in all other areas of your life. So after a short conversation, usually I can convince people to at least give the idea some thought. Yet it always seems to turn around a little bit. All right, well, how many calories will this workout burn? I'm like, come on. Is it really about the calories?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the vanity point is really that needs like a bit more explanation because I think you're right. The vanity thing is, I don't know why people immediately go that direction with it. Like why wouldn't, it's unfortunate that the direction people go is calling it vanity and saying that in a negative term instead, or in a negative light, instead of saying, oh, I'm working out so I can be proud of my body or so I can be satisfied with it. You know what I mean? Like, why not?
Exactly.
Why does it, I don't get why it always has to go in a negative direction. And it just seems like the default is if you're not training for something, like, it's almost like it's more noble. And I've had this discussion with someone in a forum like a while ago. They couldn't wrap their head around the idea of training purposely for a better looking physique, but they were okay with the idea of a better looking physique being the side effect of training for some other performance parameter. And I think that's such a bizarre mental block they have there. So if you end up with what we otherwise would call like a really ideal proportion physique, like AI, whatever, like it looks good, right? And it's like, you know, got other guys like, man, that's a great body, and girls like, man, that's a body I'm attracted to, whatever. And same
right.
for girls. It's almost like you can't do it on purpose. It has to be an accident from another goal. Like it's like I'm training for strength, and I inadvertently ended up with a good looking body.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm sure there is. There's a lot of ways that you could train, and like I said, accidentally arrive at your ideal ratio or close to it.
What I was saying was this person only could accept it if it was an accident and not on purpose.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is bizarre.
Totally.
In a sense. Cause, well, I just, yeah, it's tough for me to wrap my head around a bit, but yeah, I do. I try to get them to embrace vanity as a thing of beauty. And like you said, pride, like I really believe like my consider myself a physique artist. And I believe a physique artist is someone who takes pride in their physique, their health, their lifestyle, all the above there. And it's a pride thing, and it's a beauty thing to me. I view my training as an art form, and I view my body as an art form. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy doing a photo shoot twice a year, to kind of capture my physique in the form of artwork. Like, photography is an art form, and to see my body as a work of art, it sheds new light on the whole thing. And when I'm viewing my body as a work of art, it changes my feelings. Like, vanity is no longer a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, my body is a gift, and I'm going to make the most of it and kind of live to my fullest potential.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I like what you said about the two photo shoots a year, because it keeps you accountable. Because this whole process isn't necessarily it doesn't just happen on its own. You gotta put some effort in, and that kind of goes without saying. And then if you don't, the whole payoff's the photo shoot. I don't get why people go through all of it. I think a lot of people are scared of the idea of getting in front of a camera, or even if they're in really good shape, they've never even considered it. Like, I've talked to a few people, you know, just people in our gym who are otherwise in really good shape, and I'll just mention to them, like, oh, are you training for something? Like, no, I just train. I'm like, oh, you ever thought of doing a photo shoot? They're like, no, not really. And I'm like, really? You don't want to, nothing? You don't want to capture this ever? And it's, I mean, maybe they're happy with it, but I think the photo shoot's fun as hell to look at your picture and go, that was cool. And then you do another one, and you, like, I think it's one of the best forms of accountability. You know, a year to year or whatever, every 6 months, you're like, oh, where am I at now? And if all you do is maintain, that's still huge, because maintaining is one of the hardest things to do.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely look at it as a great form of accountability, a way of measuring my progress. But to me, I think it's one of the greatest gifts I can give to myself twice a year. I find it one of the most rewarding experiences. And like, I just feel, after this last photo shoot, when I got in the best shape of my life for my 36th birthday, I felt, it was the first time in my life where I really felt sexy. Like, I felt sexy in front of the camera. I felt like a fitness model. And it was like all these emotions that came out from the photo shoot. Those emotions didn't come out when I saw myself in the mirror, or taking pictures of myself here at home. It was in that moment, going through the process and having the photographer put me in a few positions, and then seeing even just like the casual shots that she took, in jeans and a shirt. I felt it was this whole unique experience that just added to the entire journey, the whole process of continuing to sculpt and shape my body. It creates a whole different sense of appreciation for everything that I put into it.
Yeah, totally. We've talked to a couple of our contest winners who've done that, and they said, I don't know if you listened, but they said something to the effect that you can never really see it objectively until you see yourself objectively, until you see a picture. So you could be, like, for instance, the day you did your photo shoot, right before, when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, that's still different than looking at the pictures.
Dude, unbelievable. The first time I did it 4 years ago, I'll never forget that experience with my wife. I was preparing for it. I didn't prepare nearly as much as I have in this past year. Just my mindset towards training is completely different, and nutrition. And I remember the morning of, looking at my wife. Now, we had already prepaid for the photo shoot, which I think is an excellent accountability factor. Just have it scheduled, have it prepaid, so there's no backing out of it. Mm-hmm. And that morning, I looked at my wife, and I was looking in the mirror, and I said, there's no way. We should put it off for 2 weeks. I am not ready. I felt fat. I didn't think I looked like I wanted to look. And then I got the pictures, and I went, holy crap, that's me? I couldn't believe it. I mean, just lighting makes a bit of a difference and all those other little things, but I found I was too hard on myself until I actually saw those pictures and thought, wow, it's pretty impressive what I accomplished.
And now, that's a recurring theme that a lot of our contest winners who've done a legit photo shoot have noticed. And unless you've done a photo shoot, this might not make sense to you, but anyone who's done a photo shoot and experienced this sort of imposter phenomena in the mirror versus the photo shoot, I'm sure you're nodding your head right now, like, oh yeah, I remember that. And it's true. Like, I did the same thing. Me and Pilon were doing some photos here, because we've got like our little amateur lighting setup in our in-house gym here, and we noticed that the camera sees certain lighting differently than our than we do. So like, you know, he'll be up there, and I'll be like, you know, do this or do that, or turn around, and he's doing like some poses, and I'm like, that looks cool, like just to the naked eye, and then I'll take a picture. Then we'll switch the camera or switch the lighting settings, and then it, to me, it looks worse, like in the room. But then when we went and took the pictures to the computer, they looked better. So the ones that looked worse to the naked eye looked better on the computer, and I was like, I can't believe that, man. We can't even trust what we see. For it to translate on the computer screen. And I guess what I'm getting to is this whole, when people are like, well, is a picture a true representation of you, or is it, you know, is it a lie, is it a fake? And I like what you were saying, it's actually just a piece of art, and your body is the canvas, so to speak, or the clay. And no amount of photoshopping can give you a physique that you don't have. It can't, like, if you're 40 pounds overweight, you can't photoshop that all the way down to a good AI and abs and all that. But if you've got the body, the photos can show it off, is like what I try to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally agree with your last point about visually. I always bring a camera with me in the gym, especially now as I'm getting really lean, and just to capture some moments where my workout partner will be going, holy crap, like the separation in your delts is ridiculous right now. And he's seeing, he takes a picture, and I'm all excited to bring it home and put it on Facebook, and I look at it, crap, it's not showing what we were seeing in the gym.
It's weird, eh? It's like you hope the camera catches it, but it really doesn't. I get, we're talking a lot about photos, but that's why photos and having someone who knows what they're doing with photos, that's why it kind of matters. What I like to see, we've had some debates on our forums where people are like, well, is that an honest photo or not? Like, is the honest, somebody put up, sorry, I can't remember who it did. Who put it up? Otherwise, I'd give you credit. The honest photo competition, or the honest photo thing, where people just put up a photo, just normal lighting in the house, and just to see what they look like along the way through one of our transformations. Because we do coach people on, like, take the best photo you can, do something with the lights, like, if you can.
Yeah.
We don't tell people to spend money on a photographer, but some people do, and some people took awesome pics just messing around with lights. But I don't see why the crappy lighting is any more honest than the good lighting. You know what I mean? I almost see it the other way around. Like, and your example was perfect. Your training partner looks at you in the gym and sees legit, like, there's definition. It's all like veins popping out, separation. He's like, oh my God, let's capture that. But then the technology fails. The technology can't capture it, or at least technology in the hands of rank amateurs can't capture it. But a pro photographer is like, oh, I can make the camera see what we're seeing. Like, I can actually make it see the definition that really is on your body. So it's kind of like, you could almost say that it's there, but you need someone to know how to get what we can see onto the camera. It's almost like the reverse of what happened with me and Pilon in the gym there. It's like sometimes what looks good, at least in the gym under one kind of lighting, the camera doesn't see it, but then it's the reverse when we switch the lighting.
Right.
So it's, same thing with you. Your partner saw it. He's all, this looks great. But then he pulls the camera. He's like, oh, that looks, doesn't look great on the camera. And it's wrong camera setting, wrong lighting. Something's wrong there. But he's like, but I remember it looked good. So the idea of capturing that for a picture is a big deal. Like, there's an entire industry around taking photos, and there's a niche of the photography industry that specializes on fitness photography. So it's something, there's something to be said about it. And I think the more important point is almost everyone has the avatar of what they're training for in their head. Like, their image is a professional image. Almost nobody is gone to the gym and is like, has this idea of where they want to go with their body, and it's based off of like a crappy one-off picture on Facebook of somebody, right? Like, it's usually like a model or someone, a professional shot. And they're like, that's what I want to look like. I'm like, do you know what went into getting that picture to look like that? So,
yeah, getting the picture to look like that, and to getting the body to look like that. Like, I guarantee those. If you have that look in your mind, and you see someone that has nice, broad, like cannonball shoulders, and the trim, tight waist, and just defined quads, whatever you see in that picture that really captures your mind, And then you see that the greatest workout program in the world is to make your workout seem, your weight training turn more into a cardiovascular workout than it is weight training, sculpting your body. Your chances are you're not going to achieve that look no matter how hard you're training in the gym. So, I mean, if you want to achieve a certain look, you need to train to achieve that look.
Exactly. And the irony of all of it is you could actually get to the point where you look like that model live, but if you don't take a proper picture, your picture won't look like that model.
Agreed.
Like you can actually look just like you did in the gym. Your buddy's like, oh, that looks good. Then he took a picture. He's like, it doesn't come through in the picture. So you can be all the way to cover model ready, but a bad picture doesn't show it off. So it's kind of like there's two steps there. Once you build the body, you still may not capture it if you don't take the right pictures. And that would be the biggest sort of tragedy, is to do all that work and never be able to capture it properly.
Right. Yeah. Because that picture on the cover of the magazine, they're doing everything to make you look your absolute best in that moment. And yeah, so why not do what you can at home? Why just go for a regular casual lighting? Why not enhance your physique the best that you can? Show it off the best that you can. It's not like you're photoshopping anything. You're just showing yourself in the best light possible. It's great.
I mean, if you want to even the playing field, everyone in a professional photo shoot, then that's even, right? Or everyone with best lighting. Because if you just go everyone in crappy lighting, you can have the best physique. I guess the way I view it is like a continuum. It's like if you take someone who's like cover model ready, right? And they look fantastic. And you put them in a room and turn all the lights off, then take a picture. Well, you can't see anything, right? They're not there. Then you just turn one light on. Now you can see a silhouette. Two lights on. Now you can tell if it's a guy or a girl. Three lights on. Then you know what I mean? And then all the way up to a professionally done lighting and photo shoot, now you get to see what's really there.
Right.
And so everything's on that continuum from like no light to professional photo shoot. So it's just how far along that continuum you want to be, and obviously it costs money at the very end, but somewhere up there you can take a pretty good set of pics just with your own.
Absolutely. Like I try to keep like my main form of measuring my progress, other than using a measuring tape for circumference measurements, is just taking a picture of myself in my bathroom. So it's the same lighting that I'm taking. It's usually the exact same time of day in somewhat of a fasted state. And I take the same pose because I'm not doing anything different. So it's going to show my progress along there. So you can see, and even like the morning of the photo shoot, I'll take my picture in the bathroom in the same place that I usually do, just to show the consistent progress right to the end. And then, yeah, I do end up looking a little bit better in a professional photo shooting, but the lighting in my bathroom is pretty good. It shows off my physique fairly well. So at least that's a consistent background, I guess you could say, for measuring my progress all along the way.
All right, so obviously our philosophies are pretty similar. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be talking. But so you've got the time we're recording. You're just a few days before, a week or so out from a shoot, but you already have some pictures up right now. So we'll put something up on this post. Now, in those pics, people, again, this is the whole illusion of size, or at least illusion of weight. I don't even know what the word is, because people have such a bizarre idea of how heavy they think people should be. But talk about your metrics and your size in the pictures, and then what people guess it at, and we'll just go from there.
Absolutely. I'm really glad, first of all, that I stumbled across you guys. It's probably been 18 months ago, maybe a year to 18 months ago, and just really resonated with your messages out there. The first time I decided to go through a transformation was approximately 1 year ago from right now. So, and I did my first photo shoot back in September, 6 months ago. And just the thing that really resonated with me and listening to all your previous contest winners was the whole concept of giving yourself permission to be light. I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'7". When I was in my early 20s, I only weighed 123 pounds. I was just a scrawny little runt, considered myself a hard gainer until I was in my mid to late 20s, having a young kid in a stressful business. And I thought I was a hard gainer till that point, and then I ballooned up to like almost 190 pounds on my 5'7" frame. That was
Must have looked like a truck.
It was kind of ridiculous. But anyways, just to just kind of share a little bit of my background there. But when I came across you guys and I decided to, I wasn't too bad at the time. I was probably around 175. Just spare tire. I carry my weight like every other guy, right around the waist. Mm-hmm. And just hearing some of those contest winners talk about permission to be light, because there's so many other guys saying, oh, I got bulk up first and all those other things. I said, you know what? That's it. My main goal, I feel like I've been trying to get ripped abs all my life. I'm going to go for that goal. And I knew that I was going to be very light at the time. And I said, I don't care. I'll go for this goal first and then I'll build from there. And that first photo shoot 6 months ago, I ended up getting down to about 140. I was quite low. I didn't think I thought I'd get around 143. I ended up at 140 pounds, but ripped. Mm. And I had the 6-pack abs. I achieved my goal. And most people at that time thought I was much larger than what I was.
Mm. Well, I remember your pictures were good. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That time in September, I looked, most of the time people peg me at like 20 pounds heavier than what I am. So at that point they probably figured I was like 160, 165. I only weighed 140. Mm. From September, it's now the end of March, almost April, I've put on about 7 pounds of muscle. I'm more ripped than what I was the previous photo shoot. So I'm now 147 pounds. And for those people who are following your beta testing of your contest,
the reverse taper diet,
yeah, and all that stuff, I am spot on. On every single measurement that it predicted me to be at, like shoulder width, so I'm 5'7", my shoulders are just over 48 and a half inches, my waist is 30 inches, just under 30 inches, and so the Adonis Index pegged me, the calculator said my goal, this is when I started out, was like, when I started following your contest thing, I forget where I was at. It's probably like 157, so I was 10 pounds heavier. And it said it gives you that range that you'd be at. And it said that the ideal target would be 147 pounds point something. And that's, I'm like 147.8 right now. My shoulders are 48 and a half, just over that. And the measurement said I'd be 48.46. Waist said 29.95 and a 30. So I'm like,
also it got you pit like right on.
Oh yeah. I was floored to see how it came to be 10 pounds out to where I'm at right now. So I'm 147 pounds, and just last week, I mean, it happens to me all the time, whether it's pictures online or in person at the gym. Last week, one of the bigger muscle head guys came up to me. We were just talking stuff. He saw that I was getting ripped. He was asking me if I was going to compete or anything. And he said, so he's talking about his weight. And he said, well, how much do you weigh? And when I said 147 pounds, he's like, he didn't believe me. He for sure, he thought 175 to 180. And here I am, 147 pounds. He made me get on the scale to prove that I was 147. And he still didn't believe the scale. He thought there was something wrong with it. So, but I'd say for the most part, almost everybody pegs me at least 20 pounds heavier than what I am. So do I care that I'm only 147 pounds right now? No, I don't care at all. I train for looks. I don't care what the number says on the scale. I don't even care what my body fat percentage is. It's looks. I shouldn't say I don't care, because after listening to your guys and that whole DEXA scan thing, really has me intrigued.
Are you going to get one?
I plan on getting one.
No,
yeah.
You should. You might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to see, but it's not something that I'm necessarily striving to achieve a certain body fat percentage. It's the look that I'm going for. I love that people think I'm bigger. I love that people think that I'm 4% body fat or whatever. I have no idea what I am, but sure, they think I'm ultra crazy ripped.
Yeah. And that's what we found out. Same thing. I don't care what the DEXA said. I was just curious to compare it to a look. And now we have Pilon has a funny thing in his vernacular. He's like, you know, we were, you know, 10 and 12% as of the DEXA, as of actually a real body fat percentage measurement, which translates into 6 or 7% online. Like,
yeah,
in the fitness marketing world, people would be like, oh, you must be 7 or 8%. But in reality, we're 10 and 12. And to me, it just goes to show how far off people just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, if someone looks at me and I just stepped out of a DEXA and it said I was 10 and a bit percent, And then they look and say, well, I thought that was 7. I'm like, well, then you don't know what 7 is.
Right.
Like, because this is 10, not 7. So you're wrong, not me. I just stepped out of the machine. So you need to look back through how it is that you got it in your head that what 10 is. How do you think it's 7? Like, how did you get to the point where you think that's actually lower than it is? And I think it's because, you know, fitness commentators, personalities, whatever you want to call them, a lot of them just spew out nonsensical numbers. Like, yeah, 4%, 5%. Like, no, you're not. Like, no, almost no human is that. Maybe a top flight bodybuilder when he's on stage. But
yeah.
Other than that, and that's typically pharmaceutically induced lean. Like, almost nobody can get like that without.
And temporary. That, yeah, it's why I even aim for that, unless you're aiming for a single day. I want to be that body fat percentage for a single day in a single moment, capture that, and then
to win a show that requires that, right?
Yeah.
And I don't care if that's what you're into. That's fine. I mean, if that's what you're competing against, you better do it at their all day. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to get laughed off the stage. Like, I've had some people I know compete, and they're like, but that I don't want to use any drugs. I'm like, that's fine. But you can't expect to win the show. You have to expect to only do as well as you can without doing what the other people are doing. So if you come in 10 out of 10, but you're the only clean person on the stage, you should be proud that you were still on that stage. But right. If you want to win and all 9 other people are using something, you're pretty naive to think you're going to beat them without doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I love following you guys. But just hearing, like even Brad talking about, like his leanness, if everyone thinks he's in the single body fat percentage and he's 12%, but he's got a look that, I mean, he can look like he's in the single digit body fat and he can actually maintain that. And he has maintained that for quite a while. I mean, why?
Yeah. Why would you need to be leaner than that? And it's now the DEX, the one thing that is revealing about a DEX is it shows where the fat was. Like he stores more viscerally. So it's underneath the abdominal wall.
Yes.
So he has visible abs at a higher body fat percentage because some of that fat is not covering the abs. It's underneath them.
Yeah.
So, whereas I'm the reverse, I store more on top of the abdominal wall. So I actually have to get leaner by total body fat for any sort of visible abs to show through. But I don't store it underneath as much. So the actual waist measurement comes down on me pretty quickly, but it doesn't come down in a way that reveals the abs because it's coming down from underneath the abdominal wall. So it's kind of now those are the subtleties that a DEXA can teach you about your own body, like that's. And I also found out, I know we're doing the whole DEXA thing, and I found out there was an imbalance from my left to right arm from some shoulder damage I've had. So, you know, and I was like, wow, I actually do need to really pay attention to that right arm if I want to balance it out. So, if you got the money to spend, it's revealing for sure for anybody listening. I think it's worth it. I think it's cool. So. But other than that, back to the illusion, that shape, the shape that you, and I saw your comparison pictures. They look awesome. We'll put them up. And you do look bigger and tighter in the last picture. So it's a total illusion. Everyone thinks I'm heavier too. I mean, obviously our listeners know how we talk about it enough. They know how much I weigh, but people in the gym think I'm heavier. And now the other thing is, do you get this in clothing? Depending on how you're dressed, but in general, I find that people just pass me and don't have any clue that, like, I know that my last set of pictures, or the ones I did about a year and a half ago, I know that a guy in our gym, a bodybuilder in our gym, was showing them to a few people at his supplement store. Some people were, they always talk, they talk shop in there, they talk working out and stuff. And he's like, oh, one of the guys at our gym, this guy Barbin, he put his pictures up here, have a look. And I put some pictures, couple poses on Facebook, and the other guy was like, that guy trains at our gym, like that guy. And he's like, yeah, that guy, you see him, you know this guy, he's in our gym. And it's funny because just a t-shirt can hide it. Like even though my pictures, like, people are like, wow, you know, they're all like, well, those are great pictures, as soon as you put a t-shirt on, I just look like an average guy. Like, it doesn't, I think that's something, another thing, and I don't, let me know if you've experienced it too, you gotta kind of get used to the idea that you just aren't gonna be physically dominating or stand out, at least to other guys. Now, this is the other key. You don't stand out to other guys in clothes. Now, women think you look fantastic if you wear clothes that are fit, that fit properly when you're in shape, but you don't have that, like, you fill out an extra large t-shirt and you, like, walk into a room and the crowd splits, you know? Like, back when I was, like, 250 pounds, that happened, right? But I didn't, I took the shirt off and I was just this big, fat, smooth guy. And so like it's kind of like the day you get big enough to intimidate and impress guys, that's the day you've long since lost your appeal to women.
That's a very good point. It is interesting what t-shirts can hide, for sure. 'Cause it hid my gut for a while as well. Like, most people didn't believe me that I put on as much weight as I did during that time. But yeah, it hides. It definitely hides a lot of. I'm not threatening by any means in my t-shirt, for sure. I look like a 150, a guy who weighs a 150, with just a t-shirt on. But throw a tank top on me and completely different reaction from people. Now, mind you, like, comparing my pictures from 6 months ago in a t-shirt to right now in a t-shirt, you can tell I'm filling up the same shirts more, and my sleeves, my chest is much fuller, so I'm filling out those clothes more, but it does not reveal anything about what's underneath, unless, like, they see the vascularity in my arms and in my forearms. They can tell I'm getting.
Yeah, it's like a hint of what might be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then obviously when you're training, then it's like there's more on, there's probably more going on with that guy, 'cause once the arms get a little pumped up, then the vascularity comes out even more. And then in the middle of a rep, obviously the muscle separation starts showing up. So it's
Yeah.
like, "Oh yeah, okay, now I get it. That guy's probably in really good shape." But it's an illusion. I think it's a psychological game, because I've spent a lot of my life being big, like over 225 pounds big, right? Now smooth, not really lean, but again, that there's an overall bigness thing going on when you're up into the when you're up over 200, then you're pushing 220, then you're in like the 230s. I've spent years at that weight when I was younger. There's that's now you're getting to a size where it doesn't matter how lean or not lean you are, you just take up lots of space, and guys notice that. Again, this is all trapped in the how does it compare to other guys and how are they viewing. But when you get like in real good shape and like the type of shape you and I are talking about, the type of shape you're in, the type of shape I'm in, when you're in that kind of shape, like you're zeroing in on an ideal AI, that sort of thing, you don't have that I'm big thing, and you have to get used to the idea that you don't really. I don't know. I found it psychologically. I still have to remind myself, oh yeah, no, I'm in good shape when I'm in clothes. Because when I'm in clothes, to me, and maybe I'm just still sorting through this, to me, I just look totally normal and average. Like I don't see myself as being in any better shape than anybody else. And it actually takes a female to point it out to me. They're like, "What are you, crazy?" And I'm like, "I don't know. It just doesn't feel." I still remember when I was 240 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking now, and I'm like, I have medium shirts that sometimes are too big, but I know that when they fit properly, it looks good. It's just, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm still going through it. I'm still going through the getting used to, oh no, this is right. Like this is the shape and size. But every now and then I just remind myself that, oh yeah, it's, I'm not going to be the biggest person in a room, and that's okay.
Oh yeah, it's more than okay. And I like, to me, it all started with that permission to be light. And now, like, I am my goal is to, not my goal, I am going to be competing. And I never, ever, ever did the thought of competing in a bodybuilding contest enter my mind. But
Oh, hang on. Okay, so talk about that. Oh, I think you did mention this to me. When are you doing that?
in October.
Oh, okay, so you got
So
time to go.
that's
Right,
what,
yeah.
7 months from now or 6 months from now, something like that, or even more. It's probably 7 or 8 months from
Yeah.
now. So I got plenty of time to prepare for that. But yeah, just it's like the next almost, I don't want to say logical step, but it's just taking it to the next level. I feel, hey, I've hit my AI numbers. People think I'm much bigger than I am. Like, hearing all this feedback from people, I'm like, maybe I will get on stage. I still can't believe I'm gonna get in those itsy bitsy speedo things and step on stage. But like, again, it's just another form of art to me, and that's the way I'm viewing it. But I'm gonna be competing in the lightweight category, and it goes from, I've shifted from permission to be light to being proud to be a lightweight. I've taken pride in the lightweight category, and I plan on winning that contest for sure, and I kick some serious butt. But I'm glad to be in that category of 150 pounds and lighter, and I'm just going to represent all the little guys. So there, I guess you can say the little guys who look bigger than what they are.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's so tied into height, and it's I just don't understand why guys who aren't taller than 6 feet think they're supposed to be significantly heavier than 200 pounds. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's like an artifact of looking at pro athletes. Like if you've met a pro athlete in any sport, I don't even care. Just pick a sport. They're huge and they're like tall, like almost all of them. It's rare to find a pro athlete who's under 6 feet in any sport. And they're just, the taller you are, the heavier you can be. And so people, I don't know. I think guys are just have, I don't know. Me and Pilon talked about it once. We're, from the media standpoint, we're exposed to a tiny, tiny percentage of outliers, and then we base all of our physique goals on those outliers. So we see pro fitness models, we see pro bodybuilders, we see pro athletes who are all freaks. Like, they're all genetically on one end of the spectrum to begin with. None of them are average. They're all already genetically predisposed in one direction, and then they all train on top of that. And then we're looking at the... And then if you're looking at like pro athletes, you're looking at the very few who made it all the way to the pros. And if you look at pro bodybuilders, there's literally only like a couple dozen of them.
Yeah.
And you're basing what you think you're going to do on that?
The cream of the crop. Yeah, comparing yourself to the cream of the crop out there. That,
well, not even. You're comparing yourself to the minutest, tiniest percentage of what's possible. And if you are like them, you'd already be there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you had their genetic potential, you would have been like, oh yeah, I had a couple calls to be a pro athlete, or I was a Division I athlete, and I at least had a tryout. Like you'd be there, you'd be part of them. You'd know what it's, you know, you wouldn't be looking at it from far away. You'd be one of them. So it's kind of like, and the people who are like that, they probably know what I'm talking about, but it's few and far between. Like some pro bodybuilders, I think the story of Ronnie Coleman, he won his first show, he just walked on stage, he never trained. And then people are like, oh, you'd do good at this. And he's like, oh yeah, you think? And it's like, that's the type of genetic potential or predisposition guys who get really far in those industries have. And yeah, there's drugs involved and stuff, but you know, there's a lot of guys who try to use the exact same drugs that the pros use, and they still don't look like them.
Yeah.
So they still have some other genetic thing on their side that works better. It doesn't mean you can't get in great shape. It's just that absolute numbers, you're not going to be as heavy as them. You're not going to lift as much weight, and you shouldn't expect to, because you're looking at a bunch of outliers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but all in all, I'm pretty damn comfortable with my weight. I mean, I have a goal of some 147 now. I would love to be this ripped and 154, but I honestly, I can't see myself wanting to get any bigger than that. I don't know. I'll have to see what it's like to even get there to add 7 more pounds of muscle over.
That's a lot.
Well, this was a lot. Like when, I mean, I consider what happened from September to now, like in that 6 month period, I put on 7 pounds of muscle, which is a lot. I think
that's a lot. Yeah.
I busted my butt off for that. Yeah. I think one of the reasons that I was able to do that is just the training. I have never trained with this kind of volume before. And I was doing a lot of what we're just talking about previously, a lot of the mainstream workouts. I was doing abbreviated short workouts to suit my busy, crazy, hectic lifestyle. So it was a complete change in stimulus, basically. And I wasn't doing any kind of strength training or anything like that. So that whole change in routine and even a bit of nutrition. I mean, I've never really gone on a serious kind of muscle building phase before. So everything was a whole complete shock. It was almost even though I've been working out for 20 something years, I've never worked out like this. I've never trained.
All right. Well, okay. So talk about some of the key changes there. I mean, based on our numbers, you've jumped an entire, or you've moved yourself in almost a full standard deviation, like 7 pounds of muscle. So that's big. That's huge. If you can do another one, that's super huge. So
yeah, I'm not expecting.
Okay, talk about some of the basic changes you went through.
And I think it's important to emphasize. I mean, the 7 pounds of muscle, lean tissue, whatever you want to. That is based on, like I said, I don't measure body fat percentage. Basically, I'm basing it on like 6 months ago. I'm comparing my pictures, my level of leanness that I was back then, and about 140 pounds. And right now I'm 147, leaner than what I was back then.
Right. So the basic assumption is it's got to be lean. It can't be fat tissue. Let's just say that.
Right. It's not. It's definitely not fat tissue.
And I highly doubt your bones got 7 pounds heavier.
Yeah. So the big changes were, okay, leading up to that last photo shoot, so from 12 months ago to 6 months ago, that was at a point in time where I had made that transition. So previous to 12 months ago, I was following the typical mainstream fitness workouts, just trying to burn calories in the shortest amount of time. And then I shifted to more like body sculpting, training for looks, workouts, doing upper body, lower body splits, like 4 days a week. I did that for the first month. And then I shifted to body part splits, 4 days a week of weight training, doing like chest and abs one day, legs another day, back in.
So you were you more or less freestyling it? You're kind of just coming up with your own stuff, right?
Yeah, I was following my own programs. Yeah. I was kind of creating just based on – I mean, I always loved studying all the classic physique artists and all that classic bodybuilding stuff. So based on a lot of that reading, I kind of pieced together a lot of the stuff that they were doing. And I began incorporating a variety – well, I began incorporating strength training. I haven't lifted heavy in ages. So I made sure that strength training was – a part of my workout. It probably only makes up 15 to 20% of my workout, lifting heavy, like 3 to 5 reps, and doing straight sets. So I made sure that was a part of every workout, and I incorporated, like, I like mixing a variety of protocol within each workout. Mm-hmm. So I'll do straight sets, supersets, and drop sets. 1 month, another month, I might throw in some pyramids or 8 sets of 8, but I like having more than one training protocol within a workout. Mm-hmm. And so I got great results from that first 6 months. So from 12 months ago to 6 months ago, and looked really great for that photo shoot in September. And then when I knew I wanted to, I gave myself permission to be light. I was light. I was ripped and light, achieved that goal. It was time to put on muscle. I increased volume. And the way to do that for me, my choice at that time was to go from training 4 days a week, weight training, mm-hmm. To 5 days a week, pure body part splits, and just increasing the volume per muscle group. So now I had an entire day dedicated to shoulders, which was a big goal of mine. So an entire day to shoulders, an entire day to legs, an entire day to chest was another big area. When I looked at, see, that was a big thing that you guys discussed on a recent podcast as well. It's like, really comparing visually, like you go through the photo shoot, you look at yourself and you're like, all right, I'm really happy with these areas and this area. And I knew I had to bring up my chest a bit. I was very weak in that department, and even my back a little bit, and my shoulders, I still wanted to bring out a little bit more as well. So I was able to look at my physique back then in September and say, all right, if I'm treating my body like a work of art, it's clay. I want to throw on some clay on my pecs here, throw a bit on my shoulders, and thicken up my back a little bit. So I had certain goals in mind. So increasing the volume of my chest workouts as well was a big thing. So just dedicating entire days to those body parts, and they really did require the full rest, so a full week's rest in between sessions. There's probably a million different ways you can go about gaining the muscle and all that, but that was the method that I chose, just bringing it to a 5 day body part split and increasing the volume. So more exercises, more reps, more sets, and just keeping that variety in training protocol and keeping things fresh. I know you guys did another podcast as well on just the importance of change. I mean, and that's every 4 weeks I like to change my program. So is it really the programs that are causing the gains, or is it just the fact that you're changing things and providing a different stimulus from month to month and mixing it up?
Yeah. The message. Yeah, exactly. So you did more of a body part half and half before, half the body and then the other half, and then you switched to body part specific or full on body component splits. Then who knows if for the next 7 months that's going to continue producing results, or maybe you need to switch to some other, like, combination of body part. You know what I mean? Maybe the next, maybe it's combos this time. And so with our stuff, it's sort of all over the place because I've never found a definitive answer on what the actual. I think the change itself is part of what's most important. So there's a time and place for all of it. Like, just full on body part splits. Yeah, of course. I mean, you just proved it for the last however many that really worked for you. But also before that you got some gains. And so
right.
it's like, which one was the better? Or if you just flipped them, would you just be in the exact same spot, right?
Yeah. I even incorporated, there was 4 weeks where I did full body workouts 3 days a week, and it worked well.
Right. So it's I think the system will respond regardless, and I think change is what matters, like the novel change. It's kind of like if we just went to the gym and held our arms out to the side for 20 minutes, our shoulders would be fried. And that would just look like the silliest thing to do. But it's different. It's novel, right? It's like you're placing a challenge and a stress against the muscle that it's not yet seen, and that forces it to adapt. So really, we're getting down to adaptation. You're forcing it to adapt. There's only so many months in a row you can do one thing until it's fully adapted to the point where there's nothing left to adapt to. And I think people who train in the same pattern for like years on end, they're like, okay, you got to do something. Like it's something's, and I think it almost doesn't matter if you've been in one pattern for too long. Any change will start producing results again. Because I don't think people are fully appreciate how good your body is at adapting to whatever it is that you're doing. So yeah. Once you get into a pattern and you're following that pattern, I mean, yeah, you can, I suppose you can willpower and like dedication your way to squeeze as much possible adaptation out of that system for as long as, but at some point your body just, that's enough. Like we're not, this isn't new enough for us to adapt to it anymore.
Right.
And then you got to shake it up the way you've been doing it. So you add a new day, you completely switch the frequency, you completely switch the volume, you totally switch the patterns. And then that gets the system going again. Cause the system's like, okay, I haven't seen this either. You've never seen it before. Or hasn't seen it in a long while.
Yes.
And then one of the other differences there is now you're back into doing half body workouts or supersets, but at a new strength level. You're actually stronger this time around. So
right.
it's kind of always changing. If as long as you always allow it to change, you will adapt. So I think that'll be interesting to do another podcast after your show to see how you got there and what you used to get there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's
it's good. Yeah, it's going to be, the next 6 months will be completely different from the last 6 months. I think that's the beauty in the whole journey, is just trying to experiment. Like I know we love to look at research papers and other scientific studies, but I love documenting everything that I'm doing, because it's a record. I consider everything that I'm doing an ongoing experiment, and definitely having a blast doing it, for sure.
I think that's one big thing people fail to appreciate, is that most of the more experienced people who are very experienced in weight training, there's no data on them. Like, scientists don't study guys who've been training for a long time, because they get the results come too slow for them. Like, the fact that it took you 6 months to make any, like, a real good change, scientists want that in 6 weeks.
They're, right.
You know, I mean, they won't even wait around for that. That's why they almost always study guys who are like 19 years old in juvenile muscle growth with the highest potential of change, who've never trained before. And then 8 weeks later, they have all this really usable data. And they're like, oh yeah, these guys gain 8 pounds and this and that and the other. And then guys like you and me are like, yeah, right, 8 pounds. And it's like, no, impossible. Like for people who've been training for a while. So
it's
then
just,
for every,
go so ahead. Many factors too, man. It's just like, I can't, even this time getting ripped coming, even though I didn't gain much fat, hardly any fat at all, during the muscle building phase. So it made it very easy for me to strip down and get ready for a photo shoot right now. I've done a few things a little bit differently. I incorporated a little bit of HIIT and cardio combinations a couple times a week, which I didn't do. The first time, all I did was walk every day, and I still do that most of the days right now. But can I say that this HIIT cardio combination is working any better, or is it my diet? I'm more tighter on my diet right now. Is it my training? There's so many different variables that I can't measure it at all. My quality of sleep that I'm getting, it's very hard to nail it all.
Well, I don't know how you could possibly study it all.
No.
You'd need the amount of the way it's, I don't know how you'd do it. You'd need an investigator following you around 24 hours a day and compiling all the data of everything you do. And you'd need that on dozens of different people. Like, there's just too many different variables. So to try to pin it down to like, well, this research study said this and that's how you train, that's sort of ridiculous, only because the sum total of, like you said, all the things you'd need to measure is just so big, you'd never get it all. Like, And what if one of the variables was just the quality of the sleep? Let's say for the last 6 months, your life went through a nice low stress phase, you slept really well, and that's why you grew. How are you supposed to ever tease that out and prove it in research? Really? You know what I mean? It's like, well, he followed body part split, so that must have did it. But what if the real answer was he just slept really well? You know?
Right.
So, and you, where are you going to, how are you going to ever show that? So,
yeah. And I think initially, like, there was definitely, like, between October and February when I put on that muscle, a good chunk of those gains were closer to the beginning. They definitely started tapering off towards the end. And I think part of it, like, I was on a 6-month diet, basically trying to cut down initially that first time. And then going from 6 months of dieting to muscle building where I was increasing my calories more often. I mean, my body was just, I think, just soaking it all in, like,
oh, crazy. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, who knows? Maybe there's a priming response where if you go under on calories, kind of like how glycogen in the very, very short term can super compensate. Well, maybe there's some form of compensation overall for muscle building that you can capture it for a month or two. Like, there's so many variables. It's,
yeah,
the best you can do is chart it yourself if you've got the effort to, and then, you know, like you do, and then your readers will, you can share that information and also share, and that gets incorporated into the programs you build, right? Like, obviously,
yes.
Like, part of this is we are experiments of ourselves. So,
yes.
And then again, collecting the information from everyone we've ever trained, and then you slowly put it all together into, like, well, this is what seems to be working best for most people. And that's about the best you can do. You can never really pin it down to an exact science as much as generalities of what's probably going to work most of the time.
Right.
I don't know if that sounds like non-reassuring to people, but that really is how. I mean, if you ask any pro strength and conditioning coach, there was a survey where they asked them, where do they get their ideas? Do they use journals or how do they create their programs? Almost all of them answered, oh, just from what I did when I was an athlete and from talking to other strength coaches. That's how NCAA top level strength coaches do it, and that's how a lot of pro strength coaches do it. They're just going off of what's in their head. There is no paper to show how to do it.
Right.
And it's all kind of stored in their minds, and they slowly figure it out, and they're like, oh, okay, I get it. And then it gets to the point, when you know this, you get to the point where you look at a client and you see, like, their training history, their age, their goal, and you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure I know what this guy needs. And it's not that hard to figure out after time. It just sort of starts to make sense. But it takes, like, a long time to get to the point where it's that simple to look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's complicated to get to make it simple.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how else to say that. So, so we kind of went all over the place here. This was a good call. Maybe we should just leave it at this for now. But we should talk again soon. I want to kind of stay in touch from now on.
Absolutely. I love it. Love what you guys are doing. Hooked on your podcast, hooked on your work, and definitely yeah,
and we'll in the notes and stuff, we'll send a link out to your sites, and also, I mean, there'll be pictures. People got to check out your stuff, so we'll send links. We'll have pictures of your recent pictures on the blog if you don't mind, but also want to send links out to your other stuff too. And we definitely want to keep us posted as you move along on this, on your next, I guess, your next round towards the show.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff, man. Just gonna be a matter of bringing out the details even more.
Yep.
Yeah, keep. I think with the symmetry now, the great proportions, hitting that golden ratio there is key. And now it's just a matter of bringing out the details of what I've already got here. And
well, keep a record of it because no one else will be.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. So for Scott Tuzanot, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.